WLFP Braddock.
Good morning, everyone, everywhere, especially those who like to eat, drink, make merry, and travel. And good morning to Peter.
Well, look at this. It's so confusing. I think it's a different program when you do the introduction differently.
Yeah, well, I like to keep changing it up.
Here we are. It's Sunday morning, and we have a wonderful guest on the line who I met probably about 15 years ago. We knew about him before we even met him because Anne is very familiar with the co-author of his book. Let's not tease anymore. On the line, we have Evan Goldstein, who just wrote a wonderful book called
Perfect
Pairings. And in order to make sure it came out without a fight in the family, he asked his mother to join him. So Joyce Goldstein, who was the chef and owner of the acclaimed Square One restaurant in San Francisco, he's a co-author and a huge instrument in this adventure called Perfect Pairings.
Well, she birthed the author. I think
there you go. I bet she did a little more to it than that. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm terrific. Thank you for such a wonderful introduction.
It was fun. We have fun with you all the time.
Yeah. Now you set about the task of demystifying wine in a rather different way. How did you get the idea?
Well, the book was sort of, no pun intended, birthed out of the fact that, you know, I've been teaching about wine and food for over 20 years now, and obviously in doing so, not only have I perfected at least my approach towards it, but, you know, in literally talking about wine and food between consumers and professionals to, you know, thousands and thousands of people, you know, what resonates with them in terms of what they, you know, what makes them nod their head like I get it versus what makes them look at you like you're from Mars or something like that. And what I realized was that, you know, the approaches towards wine and food that were out there in the literary vein, and i.e. published books prior to my attempting to come out with Perfect Pairings, tended to sort of go in two camps. One style of books were these very prescriptive tomes that would come out and tell you, you know, you must have this wine with this food, and this is how things work, and it has to be this vintage, and, you know, they would weigh 9,000 pounds, and by the time, you know, the average person got past page 14, they were like, I just wanted to know what went with my Chardonnay. And then the other style of books that were out there were those that tended to be the opposite extreme, which was to say, these very empowering, dare I use the word, anarchistic approaches towards wine and food, which said, you know, wine and food is very, very personal. If you want to have sauterne and hamburgers, who am I to tell you you're wrong, blah, blah, blah. And there was very little in the middle, which essentially, you know, kind of unraveled the world of wine, unraveled the world of food in terms of, you know, what sort of mapping and techniques people should use when thinking about wine and food, but really at the end of the day, giving them the tools, providing them a little bit of the guidelines and the roadmap they need to ultimately make them more comfortable in making their own choices.
But you really came at it from 180 degrees away from the way that most people approach this. I mean, I think when most people, and I'm talking about people who entertain at home, as much as anything else, and because that's where they're really challenged, because that's where they don't have as much advice. They start out with a menu, and then they say, "Okay, what wine do I get to go with this menu?"
Yeah, and I think that my my thinking is, you know, at the end of the day, this is a wine book with recipes as opposed to a cookbook with wine recommendations. So this was really, in fact, putting the wine first and breaking the wine down, which is to say, you know, I always tell people that when it comes to food and wine, wine, like love, is blind, which is to say it really doesn't care where you come from. If the roots of the cuisine are Lebanese or Indian or Californian or Italian, you know, from the wine's perspective, that's relatively irrelevant. You know, wines are all essentially, regardless of what grape they're made from, or grapes if it's a blend, and regardless of what area and appellation of the world they're made from, all wines can essentially be mapped out, if you will, on their building blocks, which is to say their acidity levels, their alcohol levels, their tannin levels, their sugar levels, and their oak levels, because all wines will either have some little, a lot, or none of those ingredients. And once you understand what the extremes of those mean vis-a-vis, you know, a wine's ability to go with food, then it becomes simply a case of, you know, being able to taste a wine and then know what kind of food it goes with, or, you know, alternatively, if you know how the food is made, you know, how it's prepared and what sort of sauces or condiments are served with it, and you know what primary characteristics drive that, making the wine choices really easy. So it's not unlike, pardon the bad sports analogy, a baseball player coming up to the plate and changing his approach based on whether the pitcher is right-handed or left-handed.
I saw it even simpler than that, to tell you the truth, when I looked at the book, because I said, here's the perfect book for someone who doesn't know wine very well, mm-hmm. but they're in the mood to spend perhaps a little more money, or they see a bargain they can't resist at the wine shop. It's harder to do in Pennsylvania than it is in California, just uh-huh. because of the way that our state treats the business. But you, let's suppose you get your hands on a bottle of wine. Maybe somebody gives it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, well, what can I do with this?
Yeah. Well, that's the varietal approach. I think that's a very essential part of it. And within each varietal, you know, again, we wine people tend to make things more complicated, I guess, than they need to be. But I also think that, you know, as you taste the wine, or as you understand it, and there's obviously lots of recommendations in the book, you know, understanding that a varietal, you know, let's say Chardonnay, for example, is ultimately not like a one-size-fits-all T-shirt, that there are different styles out there, and that, you know, knowing the style, either by recognizing the producer or label, the area in which it comes from, or simply reading about it a little bit in the book, yeah, definitely empowers you and hopefully does simplify the approach for you.
But for those people who are beginners, listeners, this is the point I was driving at, and Evan's such an expert that he doesn't see it quite as simply as I see it. He just said, okay, these are some wines, Mom, make mm-hmm. a recipe that goes with this wine.
Well, you know what we really did is, you know, when we explored each of the varietals, and the book is sort of grounded in what I call the top 12, which is to say the six primary red and six primary white varietals, and then bookending it with sparkling wines and dessert wines, and looking at each one of them and saying, you know, within this varietal, which is extraordinarily popular, you know, let's say Chardonnay, that they are not all the same. And what we, you know, the approach I wanted to take, and thank God I had a willing chef at the other end of the equation, was to say, you know, here are Chardonnays of this style. For example, if you love great French Burgundy and you love the sort of minerally driven, slightly more austere wines with really integrated oak, that requires one sink towards food, as opposed to sort of your big, you know, buttered popcorn, big oaky California Chardonnay. That requires a different approach, which is very different than, oops, I forgot that bottle of Chardonnay in my cellar, and now it's 9 years old, and that requires a different approach. So what I would do is sit down with my mom, and we would talk about it and talk about ingredients and things, and I would come back and say, this is kind of my thinking, this is my approach, here are some ingredients I was thinking that would be beautiful bridges for this, etc. And then rather than coming back with a recipe, she would come back with, you know, 15 different thoughts and ideas, and, you know, we'd play around and try a few things here and there,
yeah,
and ultimately settle in on something which we felt, you know, worked well. And obviously, you know, not only are the recipes well road tested, but the food and wine matches themselves were road tested before they went to publication.
Well, it sounds like you had a wonderful time, and you had a great excuse to eat food and drink wine with your mother,
which is, of course, wonderful. And the neat thing about having done food and wine together for so long, and we've been working together since, geez, the early 80s at this point in time, is that we know each other's palates pretty well, and we can talk about stuff, you know, and have a lot of silent conversation and stuff going on at the same time as we do, and be able to tweak stuff. But it was, to your point, a lot of fun, as well as obviously a great professional study for both of us.
How long did it take you to write this?
The book itself, from sort of ideation all the way through through the first book popping off onto the shelves, was a couple of years. Probably closer to three by the time you actually write the book, go through the editing, do the photographs, lay it out, get it published, etc. So it was a labor of love, and you know, one that took a long time. But simply, you know, doing all the wine tastings to come up with the recommendations within the book, as well as obviously doing the recipe development and the recipe and wine tasting, that portion of it alone took well over a year and a half.
Yeah, well, that's about right, though. I mean, it should actually be. Yeah, it's a very friendly book, too.
Yeah, thank you.
There's great news here. I mean, for those people who like White Zinfandel, as Joyce says, makes this pairing really, even if you would never dream of serving White Zinfandel, is the way your mother describes it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure we have listeners out there who say, but White Zinfandel is the only kind of wine I like.
Oh, most definitely. I think that it's important that, you know, we who do this on a day-to-day basis, you know, A, lose our sort of, you know, putting our nose up in the air approach towards things, and B, understand where the rubber hits the road. And I think you said it very eloquently at the beginning, is that, you know, my approach was not to make this, you know, exclusively a quote-unquote fine dining approach towards food and wine, but give it, you know, to give people recommendations for, you know, a White Zinfandel or that big buttered popcorn Chardonnay that, you know, a lot of wine enthusiasts may look down upon, but a lot of people love and drink, and, you know, that's what most people love and drink on a daily basis.
That's true.
Now, you took on another challenge in addition to what we've just described. Before you go, we must take a couple of minutes to go over your Hall of Fame, because first and foremost, you're a wine man. I remember when I talked to Clive Coates, I asked him why he was such an expert, and he said because I drank a lot of wine. And we asked Leslie Sobrocca.
Yeah. She's funny, by the way.
How could she possibly have opinions about all this wine? She couldn't possibly have drunk them all. And she said, "I certainly did." And even
well,
some others aren't.
That's the beauty of wine, is that you know, the more you taste. I don't want to use the word drink because that would be difficult. But the more you taste, the more you learn. And I think what's really important for people as they do grow and do their experiences is obviously taste as many wines as you can. Taste them in context, and taste with people whose opinions you trust, and ask a lot of questions. But I started doing it, you know, with a thinking methodology to it. Geez, when I was in my early 20s, and I've been doing it ever since. So at this point, you know, that's well over 20 plus years of accumulated experience.
But well, it's on our website, so anybody
can get I just moved it up to the section of new and favorites again.
Okay.
Just because I ran across it again. And the book is called Perfect Pairings. It is available on Amazon, as Evan mentioned while we were coming in there. You can buy it from the original publishers, but it will cost you more money. So by all means, buy it through
On the menu radio.com
and the OTM bookshelf section. But I would strongly encourage you to have it, just because of this Hall of Fame section, which Evan's put together from all of his experience. And the great thing about it is not only does he have it alphabetically by producer, but there's a column called V, the value factor, where he points out which ones are going to also be the most economical for you if that's a factor in your wine buying. So I think it's a tremendous contribution to the world of wine publications that anyone would find useful. Just have to have it. I'm glad I do.
Thank you.
I think yes, and it's always great talking to you, Evan. Love you dearly.
You're sweet. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and listeners, go out and buy this book. Peter pours over it all the time.
I appreciate that.
Thanks for calling us, Evan.
My pleasure, and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Time to take a break.
T1 Internet access wasn't affordable to many companies as little as 2 years ago. Service providers were charging in the thousands of dollars, keeping the benefits of a T1 connection out of most companies' reach. ASP Station is now offering the faster and more reliable T1 service at a price significantly less than 2 years ago. The speed of a T1 for both sending and receiving data is simply amazing and will change the way your business runs indefinitely. You'll wonder how you ever lived without it. Call ASP Station now for details. 412-661-6001. 412-661-6001. Log on aspstation.net for more information. ASP Station, it's the way to go fast.
Call ASP Station now for details. 412-661-6001. That's 412-661-6001. Log on aspstation.net for more information. ASP Station, it's the way to go, fast.
Hi, everyone. This is Tom Rita, the networking guy and host of Pittsburgh's most unique business show, Business in the Fast Lane. We're on every Saturday morning from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on The Edge, 1550 a.m. For the past 24 months, we've been bringing the best and the brightest into our studios to offer you ideas, advice, and real-world examples to help you grow your business. So save those honeydews for the afternoon and join me, Tom Rita, every Saturday morning from 12 to 1 on The Edge for Business in the Fast Lane, Pittsburgh's best kept kept secret.
The new Die Hard Platinum presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Hi, I'm Positive, and I'm half of the all-new Die Hard Platinum battery. This is Negative. Negative, you know what makes us special?
We talk.
That and the fact that we have 40% more reserve capacity, plus evolution technology, so we can power all sorts of gadgets for your car. So drop the zero and get with the hero.
I'll never use that phrase again. Ever.
The new Die Hard Platinum battery with evolution technology. Available at Sears and Sears.com/platinum. More starting power, more reserve power. Die Hard. Prepare to take Spiral AGM batteries.
Welcome back. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. We had a nice chat with Evan Goldstein in our last segment about his book, Perfect Pairings. And we're now moving on to a totally different subject with a new guest. We're going to be talking about, what are we going to talk about? Hazelnuts.
I think we should talk about hazelnuts.
Yeah, and Victor Scargill, Chef Victor Scargill, from a restaurant called Go Fish, is... You know, Victor, I'm not sure why you're here talking about hazelnuts.
It's just one of the wonderful ingredients. I've had a great relationship with hazelnut council and hazelnuts in general.
Oh, so you're representing
it's a great product.
Yeah, you're representing the hazelnut council, basically, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a lot of stuff for them in the past, and I like to use it at the restaurant. I think it's a great way for people at home to add another element, another taste profile to a dish to really bring it up to another level without doing a whole lot to it. Hazelnuts add a lot of body to dishes, and especially, you know, like Go Fish. You know, by adding hazelnuts to a dish opens up doors to pair with other wines. You know, by adding hazelnuts because they're rich, nutty flavor, you know, it allows what most people think of as a white wine protein in fish to be able to use a lighter red wine, a Pinot Noir or something like that, uh-huh, just by adding a simple ingredient like a hazelnut.
Now, where is Go Fish?
Go Fish is located in St. Helena, California, so in the northern end of the Napa Valley.
So you're right,
we're right
wine
on
country.
Highway 29, so it's easy to find.
That's great. Hazelnuts, I was going to ask you how they differ from filberts, but they're the same thing.
Yes, that's correct. They are the same thing.
And it's the history here. I have a backgrounder from the Hazelnut Council says that they've been part of man's diet for 5,000 years.
And yeah, they've been around for a long time, but I think in restaurants, you see, you know, some of the higher-end restaurants are using them around the country. A lot of people have forgotten about them, and I think a lot of other restaurants and home chefs as well are starting to use them a lot more because they see the benefits of them. You know, like I mentioned, they add a lot of flavor and richness
wonderful.
To a dish, but they're also very healthy as well.
Yes, they're absolutely magnificent. I don't think there's anything that tastes like a hazelnut.
No, and, definitely not.
I mean, it's all Italian cuisine has always relied heavily on it. But the one thing that I always found difficult is you have to get rid of that skin, right?
A lot of times these you can find blanched and peeled hazelnuts. So you can definitely find hazelnuts that take the work out of it for you. So, you know, you don't always have to deal with that. But I think that skin a lot of times is what adds a lot to a dish. So if you do have to work with that, you know, a lot of times depending on what you're doing with it, you can leave it on. Or a lot of times if you're making a puree or something, you can pass it through a sieve and it'll come right out. So you don't
have to
peel each one individually.
Oh, see, I've always had to run them through my fingers and... Oh, that's great.
An interesting thing, which I knew only because I've been there and I saw the trees, is that 99% of U.S. hazelnuts are grown in the Willamette Valley in just outside Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right where the wines are, too. And they're absolutely beautiful trees. Very organized looking.
It's a very beautiful tree, and I think, you know, it adds a lot to dishes and really kind of rounds out a lot of flavors. So it's a great ingredient.
Can you give us some examples of some of the things you do, Victor?
One of my favorite dishes that's actually a vegetarian option would be a butternut squash ravioli. And then we take some butter and we make a brown butter where we actually toast the hazelnut a little bit in the butter. And here's another example of not needing to take the skin off of them, because you just crack them a little bit, brown the butter, and then you stop the browning with a little bit of citrus, a little bit of lemon, a little bit of orange, and you have your butternut squash ravioli with this hazelnut and citrus brown butter.
Well, that sounds fabulous.
And then the halibut season just opened a couple months ago from Alaska for us here. So another dish I like to do is this hazelnut crusted halibut with some fresh porcinis, wild asparagus from France, and just a little bit of a red wine reduction that's finished with a little bit of butter. And again, here's a dish with a hazelnut and a little bit of a red wine sauce, you know, opens up the door for, you know, oaky Chardonnays or lighter red wines. So we're really trying to kind of break that trend of, you know, white wine only with fish, and by adding hazelnuts, it actually opens up a lot of doors because it adds so much richness to a dish and that nutty flavor. So,
great ideas. Your background's really interesting. You've cooked just about every place, haven't you?
Yeah, I've worked for a lot of talented people. Yeah, I was at Julia's Kitchen at Copia before Go Fish. I worked for Michael Mina and his restaurants for about 5 years. Tracy Desjardins at Jardiniere in San Francisco, a little bit in Miami and New York. So a little bit of everywhere. So
now, let's explain what the background noises are.
The background noises, it's wine auction week in the Napa Valley. So today is a taste around. So I'm actually taking a break. We have our restaurant is all about seafood, and we also have a sushi bar in there. So I took a break from making hand rolls with our sushi chef, Ken Tominaga. And what you're hearing is a helicopter flying above doing video footage of the event. So
tell us what it is. How does it work, the auction?
Well, the wine auction is about 4 days of events. There's different dinners at different wineries and whatnot. And this is an event that's at Sutterholm. So we've got a big tents out here with all the restaurants in the Napa Valley, some from San Francisco, and about every winery out here, and people go around and taste different items. So it's the largest event of the 4 days, and then tomorrow there's a big auction event as well. So,
and who bids at the auction?
I'm sorry? Everybody and anybody that can. So this is a great chance to raise money for things in the Napa Valley, but you'll get you know, wines that you can't find anywhere else, barrels of wines that aren't available in bottle or anywhere else, and it's just a great event to raise money for everything in the Napa Valley.
Who runs this? Who sponsors it?
It's the Napa Valley Vintners Association.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we've never gotten any notice of it
we keep on finding out about these things. We just have to keep on adding them to our list of resources.
Yeah, it's a great event. You know, one area that I think that a lot of restaurants are using hazelnuts is in desserts.
Yeah, now I was going to say.
You see lots of different forms with desserts, but I think, you know, you can do everything from like ice creams to our pastry chef right now is making a cheesecake where he's coating it in toasted hazelnuts as well. So he's toasting them and grinding them and coating the cheesecake in hazelnuts, so it adds a nice touch to it as well. So you kind of have the crunchy richness, nuttiness of the hazelnuts, and then you get into this moist, rich cheesecake. So I think pastry chefs have kind of been ahead of the game as far as
working with
hazelnuts.
Can't you put it in pie crust too, or pastry
crust?
Absolutely.
Pie crust, streusel. I mean, it's a very versatile ingredient, but it's interesting that when you think about it, the pastry chefs are ahead of everybody else as far as using it. Now in the savory world, we're starting to use it more of it. Years ago, I remember seeing pastry chefs working with it.
Who's the fabulous nut oil maker in California, the French guy?
Tourangelle.
Tourangelle is the name of the product, and I don't think he makes an oil with hazelnuts, but he probably should.
Absolutely. If he's not, he definitely should be.
Well, we have pistachio, pecan, and something else. I can't remember what the other one is.
Yeah,
walnut. Yeah, so not hazelnut. But first of all, if somebody wants to start buying hazelnuts, they first of all have to figure out which are the best kinds. If there are 100 varieties, how do they do this?
Oh, I would use a website like the Hazelnut Council website, and they can give you all that information. There's a lot of different products, and you mentioned, you know, the skins on hazelnuts, but you can buy them without the skins. You can buy hazelnut butter, hazelnuts ground already. You know, they have products ready to go for you. So
now, what's the website?
Hazelnutcouncil.com.
Okay. That sounds like a very good resource. Right, Rabbit?
It sure does. It sure does. And I was just trying to figure out how we could, we can probably connect up the Hazelnut Council and
We could put a link
to the
website.
And the guy from Tourangelle, we can get them together and maybe they can.
Yeah, there you go. It actually might be hazelnutcouncil.org. It's either .com or .org.
Yeah, I think it would be .org, I think. I have a card.
Yeah, .org, I think is what it is.
It is .org. You're
.org.
Absolutely correct.
You're right. Okay.
You can go to their website and they'll show you all the different products you can get. They can probably tell you locally you know, listeners around the country or world. They can tell you locally where to find them. You know, if you want a butter or puree or toasted or blanched, or, you know, they have a lot of different products. So the concern of how much work it is to work with them doesn't exist anymore because they've taken that out of it for you. So,
oh, you know, I'm just looking. You have a recipe, or I have a recipe here for hazelnut pesto.
Uh-huh.
I love making different kinds of pestos. This would be great.
So, yeah, exactly. Imagine, you know, pine nuts are a little bit subtler flavor. So imagine having a hazelnut pesto with some grilled meat in the summertime, you know, some grilled lamb or maybe a fish that's a little bit more full flavored, like a tuna or a mackerel or, you know, an errata, a whole fish like that that's got a little bit more oil to it. And then you have this hazelnut pesto. I mean, that to me would just is a perfect summertime dish.
Well, it certainly sounds heavenly.
And listen, let's make sure we get a plug in for this wonderful restaurant called Go Fish. Give us the details on that, Victor.
It's Go Fish Restaurant. It's located at 641 Main Street, right on Highway 29 in St. Helena. We're open every day for lunch and dinner, and it's everything seafood. You have a raw bar with shellfish. You have meats grilled or sauteed, dishes that we come up with. And we have a full sushi bar as well with sushi master Ken Tominaga that has Hana Restaurant in Roanoke Park as well. So it's everything seafood in the heart of the Napa Valley.
That's my kind of restaurant.
And you have a website?
The website is gofishrestaurant.net, and the phone number is 707-963-0700.
Great. Well, listen, we're headed for California again soon. It was supposed to be in June. I don't know if it's going to happen for a little while after that, but we'll be in touch, and we'll plan to stop by and see you when we're out there.
Sounds great. I look forward to meeting you in person.
Yeah, and go hazelnuts.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Go hazelnuts and go fish.
And go fish.
And now go auction some wine and serve up some food, huh?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Victor, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Nice meeting you.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know, I was thinking as we were talking.
Wasn't that nice of him to call in? I mean, he's a busy guy. He's in the middle of a busy adventure, and he still took the time to call in. So it gives you some idea of how hazelnuts get a hold of people.
Yeah, I mean, I like them too.
I
like them too. I've been torn. I have been convinced that I should eat more nuts. And, okay, you know, for a while I did the raw almonds, and they were kind of boring.
Okay.
Then, let's see, I got jungle peanuts.
You really like those.
Well, I mean, I feel they have to be healthy because they taste like dirt.
There you go. But then we got those wonderful macadamia nuts that just came in. But we're going to talk about those on another program because the producer's signaling that it's time to take a break.
So we'll take a break.
Furnace working okay? How's your heating bills? You know, no kidding, an old or inefficient furnace can really add to the cost of keeping your home warm. If you want to keep costs down, get your furnace looked at, and I recommend Bolster to Heart Heating and Air Conditioning for that. The technicians at Bolster to Heart have been performing routine maintenance and installing high-efficiency heating and air conditioning systems in Pittsburgh since 1977. They're EPA-certified professionals who are continually factory-trained in all the latest installation and service techniques. They offer free estimates and don't even charge extra for Saturday service. They're a quality dealer you can trust. Stay warm this winter at the lowest possible cost. Call Bolster to Heart Heating and Air Conditioning at 412-367-3900. Maintenance or installation, Bolster to Heart Heating and Air Conditioning, 412-367-3900.
Time for an amazing clearance sale. Right now at Kmart, you'll find huge savings. Take an additional 30% off already reduced clearance merchandise, up to 75% off. Thousands of great items, from health and beauty to home and clothing, even hardware and appliances. Now's a great time to shop at Kmart. Hurry, this amazing clearance sale ends June 26th.
Valid in continental U.S. only. Assortment varies by store. Intermediate markdowns may have been taken while supplies last.
The internet is crucial to your business. Everybody knows this, but did you know Nidhogg is the company you should call for internet service? Nidhogg, personal web page hosting for less. Business web page hosting, Nidhogg offers both Unix and NT server support. Nidhogg is the company you should call for dedicated internet access. Nidhogg offers DSL for high speed, low cost, always on access. DSL is great. It means no more dial-up. Oh, by the way, do you remember that thing called the telephone? Do you remember when people used phone lines to access the internet? Oh, I'm sorry, you still use dial-up? Well, Nidhogg does that too. Local access telephone numbers? Okay, I don't understand it all either, but I do know that I need it, and I know where to get it. Nidhogg, Nidhogg.com, 412-661-5917. That's 661-5917, or log on, Nidhogg.com. Internet the Nidhogg way.
The flagship station of the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. This is 1550 WLFP, Pittsburgh.
Hi, friends. I'm Phil Marcus, the host of Real Estate 101, heard every Saturday here on The Edge, AM 1550. If you've been thinking about selling your house or buying a house, I'd like to speak with you. Choosing the right agent is one of the first and most important steps in the process of buying or selling real estate. It's critical that you choose an agent who has the knowledge and experience to not only find that perfect new home for you, but to also be able to guide you step by step through the often complicated real estate process. If you don't already have a realtor, may I offer my services? I've been a real estate agent in Pittsburgh for almost 30 years. I'm a life member of the Realtors Association, and I'm proud to say that I've earned both the GRI and the coveted CRS professional designations. Won't you call me at RE/MAX Heritage? The phone number is 412-241-4200, extension 154, or my email address is phil@philmarcus.com. That's 412-241-4200, extension 154, or phil@philmarcus.com. Let's talk.
You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. Don't forget to check out our website. That's onthemenuradio.com for all kinds of interesting tidbits. We have our next guest. We're moving right along on schedule.
In fact, it's actually relating to an interesting tidbit which has been on the website for several weeks because we announced this great event that's taking place in Cleveland. Now, listeners in Pittsburgh, please put your prejudices behind you. Great things do happen in Cleveland. This is supposed to be the best and biggest party in Cleveland in the entire calendar of the year. It's called Five Star Sensation. And on the line with us, we have Michael Romano, whose Union Square Cafe has participated in every version of this event, here to talk to us about what it's all about.
And Michael Romano is an iconic chef in my book. Hello, Michael.
Hi. How are you, Ann and Peter?
Yeah, we're fine. I'm not sure if we've ever actually met in person, have we?
I don't believe so. I haven't had the pleasure.
I think I know all of your other chefs in that Union Square group.
Yes, because in addition to Union Square Cafe, many, many of our other restaurants have participated in the event as well.
That's right. Great. Yeah. We asked Danny which of the Union Square Hospitality Group restaurants we should go to, and he steered us to Gramercy Tavern, and steered us to Tabla, and then also steered us to 11 Madison. So that's the only reason you got left out. But don't worry, we'll show up one of these days.
Yeah, it's like asking him which one of his children he prefers.
right, exactly. But we've been to your restaurant anyhow.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and a very very nice, comfortable space.
But fill us in, because we never went to Five Star Sensation before. Give us the background that you can on, you know, the magnificent lineup of chefs and restaurants from across the country who contribute to it, all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know that it's, of course, led by the honorary chair, Wolfgang Puck.
Yes.
And that is, I can tell you from the chef's point of view, a great attraction. Wolfgang is kind of the godfather of the chefs in our chef community, and when he asks for a favor, everyone is very much inclined to help him out and join in. That said, the event is, I've heard nothing ever, anything but wonderful raves from all the chefs who participate in the, not only the quality of the event, but as you know, chefs do many of these kinds of events, but in the quality of the way the chefs were treated, and everyone felt like a super VIP and was really well taken care of. The event is always very financially successful, and you get chefs from all over the country with wines from premier vintners in the United States, Australia, Greece, Italy. You get a lot of diversity there in the wines, and of course the auctions and raffle tickets and things like that. So
who's in the lineup? I know Floyd Cardoz is going. I think he's supposed to be going. He seems to. I don't know how he's ever in his restaurant. He does so many of these.
Yeah.
Well, I know he is because I have a photograph of me in his restaurant.
Exactly.
Over the beer.
And I took it, so I can swear that it happened.
Okay. Oh, great! Yeah, Floyd is great, and he's always very helpful for these kinds of things. He's done a number of wonderful events right in his own restaurant in Tabla to help with different things going on in India and whatnot.
But who else is on the list that you can?
I'm not sure if, who else in our group. But maybe Shake Shack. But I might be getting that confused with another event.
No, they were at South Beach and they won the best hamburger, the hamburger batch.
Oh, good. It is a really. Have you been to the Shake Shack?
Well, no, I had the hamburger though. I wouldn't stand in line for a hamburger.
Yeah, that's.
Well, you stood in line.
The line's kind of drawn between people
line
who will
South
and
Beach.
People who won't. And, yeah. But you know, there's a webcam.
The what?
There's a webcam on the website that is focused on the line.
How
so
funny!
So if you're in the neighborhood, if you work within a short walking distance,
you can time it.
Have a look at the line before you head out. And
that's very clever.
Know.
That's very clever. No, but I had one at the hamburger bash, the burger bash, bash at South Beach. So the first one I went for was Shake Shack.
But we have to admit something. So we're looking to you for a little help here, Michael. We realize that we actually left our background information on Five Star Sensation. back in the office. So if you can help us with remembering some of the restaurateurs and chefs from across the country who are going to be there, as well as just the ones outside of your group, that would be very helpful.
Let's see. I don't know if I can be that much help about other restaurants that are going to be there. Let me see if I have any information.
Well,
yeah.
Wolfgang is bringing some other people too.
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, it's people from he gets. As I say, when he asked for a favor, most people are very inclined to help out and give him the help he's asking for.
Anybody can go onto our website and scroll down.
Yeah, the website. If listeners, if you go to the update section and you click on the read more, you'll see all the updates that are up there. And from about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Is the entry about the big party in Cleveland, and the website that you can get all the information about who's there and how to order and that kind of stuff is actually embedded in that update. So it's so that you click straight through to the mm-hmm. website. We did have when Anne was doing the show solo a few weeks ago, we did have a representative of the organization that's actually running the event.
Well, Lori Vick.
Board
of the hospital.
Yeah, and so listeners can go to that. Program as well. I think it was about 3 weeks ago, and listen to what she had to say there.
Yeah, and there the program that aired June 3rd.
June 3rd.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to get that information, and we might as well just go back to talking about Union Square Cafe.
Michael, what is it? Don't you get itchy? Everybody else moves around, but you've been there for how long now?
About 19 years.
How do you do that?
Well, let's see. By the way, if you'd like, I do have some information here.
Oh, good. That came
to me about some of the other restaurants.
Fire away, then, please.
Well, in our own group, we've got Blue Smoke, our barbecue
That's
place.
That's right.
They're going to be there in addition to Tabla. That was the other one I couldn't think of. Gordon Hammersley's going over.
Oh, yeah,
Hammersley's
that's right.
Great. He's an old friend of On the Menu.
Yeah, the Nobu Las Vegas is going to participate.
Yeah.
Mark Peel from Campanile.
Oh, yeah.
Vincent Garrito from Vincent's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's a great guy. He's in Phoenix, right?
Yeah, and Roberto Donna from Galileo.
Oh, right.
One of my favorites and a great, great guy is Piero Salvaggio from Valentino.
Oh, yeah, we've interviewed him, too.
He's
just a great guy.
He won a Beard Award for Best Restaurant in the Western region about 2 or 3 years ago, and we interviewed him, and he was such a nice guy.
That's right, yeah. And Sherry Yard from Spago, she just got an award, I think it was last year. Alan Wong from Alan Wong's.
Oh, yeah.
And there's others, too.
There's
quite, quite a big list.
It's going to be a great event, and everybody should certainly...
Alan's in Hawaii, right? Isn't Alan in Honolulu?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Alan Wong, he's in Honolulu, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
Honolulu.
He's got a long flight ahead of him.
He's got a long flight, yeah.
Anyhow, it's going to be a great event. I want people not to be left hanging about why you didn't get itchy and you stayed in one place for 19 years, which most chefs don't do.
Well, first of all, I guess the immediate answer is it's my nature to want to stay with something, and I get very attached to things, and this place is so special. It's just like, it's like home. It's like family. And that said, the wonderful thing is that I have been given opportunities to grow and to expand my horizon, so to speak, and do other things, all the while without really leaving here. And how that happens is, we have an excellent, excellent chef de cuisine here. His name is Carmen Quagliata.
What?
And he,
Quagliata?
Quagliata, Quagliata. It's a very interesting name.
Is it Italian?
Yes.
Okay.
So he's now more in the day-to-day operations here, as far as the kitchen. And I am, you know, I have the capacity to get engaged with our other restaurants, like our catering company, Hudson Yards Catering. I was very much involved when that got going, with our cafes at the Museum of Modern Art, Cafe 2 and Terrace 5. And our latest project was a licensing deal where we have a restaurant in Tokyo now.
Oh, my.
It's called Union Square Tokyo.
You're kidding.
And it's a restaurant company there called Wonder Table, who actually own and run 65 restaurants in Tokyo.
Wow.
And
Danny
never
even mentioned that when he was on the show.
Yeah, they sort of pursued us to do this, and we were hesitant at first, and then we went there and met them, and they're just a great bunch of people and really do things well. So we got involved with that, and I was the point person, which suited me just fine because I love Japan, and I love the food and the culture and the people, and I'm actually studying Japanese.
Oh, I was going to ask you, do you speak Japanese?
I'm working on it. It's probably the hardest thing I'll ever do in my life.
Now, do you go there, Michael, to
yes.
Tokyo? Because we had a fabulous meeting with a chef, female chef in Spain called Carmen Ruscalleda.
Uh-huh.
And
she has a
restaurant in Tokyo.
Is that right?
And
wow.
You should definitely look it up.
She's fabulous. She's
one of five women chefs in the world who have, in the Michelin world, who have 3 stars.
Wow. And, do you know what the restaurant's called in Tokyo?
I'm assuming it's probably called Ristorante Ruscalleda, but I can't tell you that for sure. I'm sure you can find her. It's Ruscalleda, Ruscalleda. And if you go, tell them on the menu sent you, and I'm sure they'll take good care of you.
Yeah. Oh, great. Okay, I will do that.
She said when she was opening, they gave her a piece of art to relate to create a dish around.
Uh-huh.
So she's also an artist.
Wonderful.
A fabulous woman.
Yeah, there are many, many, many wonderful places to eat in Tokyo, I have to say.
Is it expensive?
It's an incredible restaurant town.
Is it expensive?
It is, but you have to keep in mind, like, for example, when I compare the Union Square Tokyo prices to our prices here, on, you know, at first glance, they seem quite a bit higher, but you don't get tax and tip added onto that, because it's all included.
Uh-huh.
So when you do it that way, it's not that far off, because if you had your meal and you give a tip and you pay the tax, you're coming up to about the same. Almost, but it's kind of an expensive town all around.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, of course, so's London. I mean, every time we go, we Jesus.
Now, have you been there? We heard Danny was in London just a few weeks after us.
He was doing a lot of work with his new book, Setting the Table, and we don't have any business there, but we certainly love some of the great restaurants there, and there's a lot happening. Well, that scene sure has changed in the past few years.
No, it hasn't. Well, listen, Michael, we're getting signs that it's time to take a commercial break now. So I want to thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
And we'll reinforce that everybody should go to the 5-Star Sensation.
Definitely.
And hopefully we'll get to Union Square Cafe maybe in July when we're there for the Fancy Food Show.
Oh, great. Good. I look forward to it.
Okay.
Michael, thanks for joining us and have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Take a break.
The new Die Hard Platinum presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Hey, we're the new Die Hard Platinum Battery. My name is Positive. Negative, introduce yourself.
What's the point?
Well, so we can tell people that we have 40% more reserve capacity.
Yeah, and our Evolution technology can power all sorts of gadgets for your car.
Well, I think it's something to be proud of.
Yes, you're beaming, and it's giving me a migraine.
The new Die Hard Platinum Battery with Evolution technology. Available at Sears and Sears.com/platinum. More starting power, more reserve power. Die Hard. Terms and conditions, Spiral AGM batteries.
You take your six-year-old to the playground. You watch her go down the slide, then run over to the swings. Another mother strikes up a conversation. You take your eye off your daughter for just a few seconds. You look back at the swings. And she's gone. Your heart drops into your stomach. You jump up, your eyes searching. You cry out her name.
Lily? Lily?
From the top of the slide, you hear a voice.
Mommy, watch me!
Every parent knows that feeling. Imagine if she were actually abducted. Go to wirelessamberalerts.org. Sign up for free Amber Alerts on your cell phone. When an Amber Alert is issued in the areas you've chosen, you'll receive a free text message. If you spot the vehicle, the suspect, or the child described in the alert, call 911. Sign up today at wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. This message brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the U.S. Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
A message for older drivers from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
If you find that you have to drive at night, travel in well-lighted areas when possible.
Make sure your headlights are clean.
Keep your windshield clear, both inside and out.
Avoid driving at night in the rain or other foul weather.
Also, try to avoid busy streets or other stressful situations.
It's what makes an older driver a wiser and safer driver.
For a free brochure on older driver safety, call 1-800-993-7222.
Welcome back.
Yeah, so, welcome back.
Welcome back. Here we are again. Or still, again.
I think so. I think, yeah, we have another segment to go.
We do. And we're going to, we've been sort of hoarding our interviews from the Beard Awards, and I thought we ought to run through some of those.
Yeah,
and,
you bet.
And I
you
think
bet.
People will catch a sense of excitement in this.
Because it was all pretty exciting.
It was all pretty exciting. So let's hear.
David Chang, you were just in a field of five very, very talented young rising star chefs, and you won. Congratulations to you, and what are you going to tell your mother?
I told you the C-plus average would work out all right.
And what do you do next? You now have two restaurants. You have the Momofuku Noodle Bar, and you have a Sambar. And what happens next?
We're going to go back and try to make things better, every day a little bit better, and build on the team that we have together, and we'll see what happens. Take it day by day.
And what are you serving tonight?
Poached asparagus with miso butter. So very simple. So
sounds good. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
He was a busy man and in much demand. so we're glad we got to talk to him. Just in case you missed it, he won for Rising Star Chef,
right.
in the whole country.
So that means
he was pretty excited about
it. He's under 30.
He's under 30.
Yeah,
that's a long time ago. We were under 30, right?
Okay.
Now, if Michael was excitable, our next interview is about as laid back as you can get for an award winner.
Now, this is a tough field, listeners. It's called Best Chef New York City, and the array of talent was absolutely astounding. David Waltuck of Chanterelle won this award, and word on the street, David, is you deserve it. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Now, tell us the secret for your longevity.
Well, the only secret is just getting up every morning and loving what you do and doing it the best you can every day. That's what we do.
Were you surprised?
I'm always surprised. I'm always surprised just to be nominated for an award. I mean, there's so many great chefs, and there's so many great restaurants out there. I wouldn't be able to pick one.
Could you just give our listeners who haven't been to Chanterelle a brief description of the kind of food and atmosphere you provide?
Well, Chanterelle has been in business for almost 28 years, and I grew up in French cooking, and so it's French cuisine in sort of my style. And It's a very relaxed, calm, and very special restaurant.
And very delicious, I understand.
I like to think so.
You're like one of the few chefs I know that has one restaurant. And no, do you have a television show?
I don't have a television show. I have no desire to have a television show.
So you're happy to have your one restaurant?
I'm happy just to do what I do. It's more than enough for me. I get to see my kids, and I get to live a reasonable life, and I'm very happy with the work that I do.
Well, you strike me as being very level-headed, very sure of what you're after in life, and you've got all your priorities straight. So I congratulate you on this very great honor.
Thank you so much. It is an honor, and I really appreciate it.
Well, I mean, by this time, the room was filling up with very noisy people.
As you can tell, that was not me making all the noise, listeners.
No, nor me. In fact, it was hard finding a place to sit down.
Yeah, so anyway, let's find out who's next.
Okay, who's next?
We're now interviewing the best chef in the Mid-Atlantic region, and it's, who are you?
R.J. Cooper, Vidalia, D.C.
I've never met this man before, but I know, because this is my region, that this is a tough competition. Congratulations.
Thank you. It was tough. A lot of good friends in D.C. were nominated, and in New Jersey, and also in Philadelphia, where my wife's from, and I eat a lot. So it was a very good region this year.
Now, Vidalia is not new.
No, Vidalia is almost 15 years old. Jeff Boobin won the award in 1999. For Vidalia, the chef owner, and this is 8 years ago, so it's quite an honor for all of us.
What is the style of cuisine there?
Contemporary American with Southern influences. Lots of Southern flavors and hospitality in our food. So.
Are you surprised?
Surprised as hell.
Do you have a hero chef?
It's Jeff Boobin. Jeff Boobin is the most energetic, business savvy person I've ever met, and the man can cook. And he and I can bounce off ideas off each other that are so wild and so crazy, and we can pull them off.
Well, once again, congratulations, and we're going to come on down to see you.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Enjoy.
Congratulations again, and we'll see you at Vidalia.
We actually discovered afterwards that this award was a tie.
I've just had this discussion. A flat out tie,
and I've forgotten who the other award winner is.
Oh, I know, but it is, Ruta. Who's originally from Pittsburgh.
There you go. And what's his restaurant called?
It's called Da Palena.
Palena, okay, very good. So.
And I just had this discussion. I have to call, what's her name at Nemecolon, because she said it was, both of them got it, and I said they never do ties.
But they did.
Frank Ruta was
the other winner in this particular category. Now, let's find out who's next.
On the menu has the honor of talking to one of my heroes, Tracy Desjardins. Hello, Tracy, and congratulations.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be sitting here.
And you won the best chef in a new category.
The Pacific category, which is California and Hawaii, yes. Yeah.
It's called Pacific. Okay, your primary restaurant is Jardiniere, and you also do two other things.
Yes, I have a little taqueria in the ferry building called Mijita, and I manage the Acme Chop House, which is AT&T Park in San Francisco.
And you told us this is seventh time as a charm.
Yep, this is the seventh time nominated for Best Chef in California, so I'm thrilled. Finally they gave it to me.
Well, I mean, she was very instrumental in establishing a fine organization called Women Chefs and Restaurateurs, which I was almost a charter member. And I just can't rave enough about how you've just held up your end of everything.
Thank you so much. It's been a great time, and I have lots of fabulous memories.
And you're cooking what tonight?
We're doing a Sonoma rabbit escabeche with a fava bean crostini.
Oh, yums. Thanks, Tracy.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
And it was good.
It was good. It was good. And like some other fine chefs whose restaurants were represented there, she didn't run out.
Right. Yes. She didn't.
But that's another story.
Yeah. So now we're moving on here.
We're moving on. We'll find out who's next.
We have a very impressive chef here who's executive chef for the beard ceremonies, I understand.
That's right. I'm actually hosting the beard awards food parts of this evening. So quite an honor.
very exciting. As to be selected as a National Rising Star, you know, it's a pretty great honor.
Yes, he was the very. This is Todd English of the famous Olives and a bunch of other places. I'm going to ask him to give us the other Westerns now. But he was the very first Rising Star chef, and boy, they weren't wrong, were they, Todd?
I don't know. I mean, I like to think so. But I mean, you got to realize also that the James Beard Foundation also helped me launch my career as well. You know, got me recognized in a big way. And I think it's helped a lot of young chefs' careers. And I think it's an honor to be recognized by your peers. And that's really what this is about.
Could you list your various restaurants now? I mean, you have how many Olives?
I have, we have six Olives now. You know, there's a ton of them. You go to www.toddenglish.com, it has a list of all the restaurants. We're in Orlando, we're in Aspen, we just opened in New Orleans as well. So we got a lot of stuff going on, so it's good.
Well, that's good that you opened in New Orleans. We were just there. They need still a lot of help.
Yeah, you know, it's sad what happened to that city. Such sort of the heart was taken out of that place. And and New Orleans, such a vibrant city, and it loves their food, loves their culture. You know, it's a very unique place, and I just, love to see it come back. You know, it's always one of my favorite food towns to go to in the world.
I agree. Well, you're so busy. Thank you for taking time to talk to us.
Always a pleasure. See you next year.
And you keep smiling.
He does smile.
He does. He can't even remember all his restaurants. That's why he said go to the website.
Well, everybody's probably picked up on this, but the reception, all the previous Rising Star chefs the ones that were
they were the ones who cooked for the event, together with some specially invited additional
chefs. Exactly. Okay, we have one more here.
We do. It's your old friend.
Grant Achatz of Alinea in Chicago has won just about every award imaginable, and now he's just claimed Best Chef Great Lakes at these Beard Awards. You are a superstar. You're young.
I am young.
How does all this feel?
Feels great. I mean, it's always nice to be recognized by your peers and your industry media. You know, it's really rewarding.
Yeah, no, I mean, is there anything you haven't won?
Well, we need Michelin to come to Chicago.
Oh, yeah, it's not been there yet. You may not really, once they get there, really appreciate it.
Well, I hope they come to us before they go to Vegas. Let's put it that way.
Describe what you're doing at Alinea.
We're doing a very progressive American kind of emotionally based cuisine that focuses a lot on unusual presentations and different ways of eating.
I want all those wonderful serving pieces that you have specially designed by who?
Those are designed by Crucial Detail Design Studio based out of Chicago.
Now, are you surprised at this incredible acceptance of your style of experimental cuisine in your hometown even?
I think it's been a pretty interesting run, but I think what people don't realize is that all this stuff is based in very traditional technique and classic technique. I mean, I worked for Thomas Keller at the French Laundry for 4 years, so that's my foundation, that's my base.
This man is, I would say, nothing short of a genius, and I congratulate you on your award, and I want you to keep going.
Thank you very much. I hope I will.
Well, that was one party, wasn't it? And we never made it to the after party.
And he's such a nice young man. I bet his mother really loves him.
So too. He's really sweet.
He's someone to be really proud of. He's really, oops.
Time to go.
Is it time to go? Well, the music hasn't come up yet.
When
the music comes up, it's time to go. Now the music's coming up, so now we know it's time to go. And
bye-bye.
You got all the beard stuff. You got everything until same place, same time next week.
Bye-bye.
Jazzin' Around with David J. is next on The Edge, AM 1550.